The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
AM 840, 1360, 97.5 WTAQ news, talk, sports. As you know, I am a global warming skeptic. I accept that there was a surge in temperatures in the late 20th century, but I do not believe it was man-caused. That said, I have to admit that I've heard something today, this morning, that I haven't heard in a long time. I would call it the wah-wah. When you start, we try to turn over an engine of a very cold car, where you can just hear the metal against metal because the oil isn't moving. And then when it does start, you hear the until the oil gets up in there. And our third family car that is supposed to be the car the teenagers use, but because it's a pig on ice, as my dad would say, or a pig on stilts, or whatever you want to say. You have seen it the last 2 days, Jason. It is a pig on ice. I mean, it is really tough to navigate. And she just can't get the feel of it. You know what it is? It's rear-wheel drive, and all she has ever driven is front-wheel drive. Well, I, of course, grew up on rear-wheel drive. I just, you know, so that's just, I mean, now, and I will admit, even that being the case, it took me a while. I had not driven a rear-wheel drive vehicle. It's an old 98 Crown Vic. It's a big old pig of a car anyway. And it just takes a little adjusting. And rather than have her adjust on the fly, I'll take it in these conditions until she learns winter driving a little bit. By the way, I just want to spend a minute on this as long as I brought that. And no, actually, no, we'll get to this later in the show. Millennials want self-driving cars. I'll get it ties in to my daughter not feeling comfortable in driving a rear-wheel drive vehicle in this kind of in these kind of roads. I mean, even I every once in a while I'll feel the rear end. You know, you're just not used to the drive coming from behind you. It's just the way it is. I've gotten pretty used to it by now, but boy, I can't believe all those years. Well, till 1990. I drove rear-wheel drive until 1990, so it's 23 years for me since I've regularly driven rear-wheel. Whatever you're driving, do be careful out there, and boy, is it cold. It is really cold. So just be careful out there. All right, a couple of things I want to get to. By the way, right after 9 o'clock, State Senator Glenn Grothman and I believe, are going to debate, even though we agree in principle on the issue. But we don't agree on the raw milk bill that is now before the legislature. And I've made my case why. If you're a listener to the show on any regular basis, you know that I support the sale of raw milk. I believe there's too much regulation in the bill that's being proposed. One, it would make it almost impossible to sell raw milk, which is the goal. And two, the raw milk that did get sold, I do now legitimately fear could be confused with the state's pasteurized milk product. I think there's too much state regulation in there. And I think that it would make a lot of news. Well, even though the farms are supposed to be inspected by the state, somebody got sick, I just think it would be a mistake. Anyway, we'll get to that after 9 o'clock. I want to get to a couple of things right now that are pretty significant local stories. It could be D-Day today, as in doomsday, for a proposed downtown Green Bay Walmart. The Redevelopment Authority is to vote today and could put an end to the controversy just like that if they do not extend Walmart's land purchase option. As you are likely aware, that land purchase option didn't get extended previously because the Larson Green Board on December 2nd on a 3-3 deadlock, It didn't get extended on the deadlock, so the redevelopment authority becomes the tiebreaker. And he hasn't gotten nearly enough criticism for this. Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt inserted himself directly into this by appointing himself to that governing board because Alderman Brian Danziger was out of town. And essentially then Jim replaced him. One, he couldn't find a lackey. He couldn't find a stooge to appoint. He had to do it himself. What does that say? And two, that he just has no reservations about doing that. None whatsoever. I believe that Jim feels that he pretty much owns the Redevelopment Authority and that he's going to get his way on this. In fact, Alderman Tom DeWayne pretty much said that to our newsroom yesterday.
I know the mayor very strongly opposes this, and he appoints the RDA, so I don't know. It's going to be just as much a surprise to me to anybody else.
Yeah, except you said there he owns the RDA. But whatever happens is going to be a surprise. Way to hedge your bets there, DeWayne. Well done. Now, understand what this will do. If they extend the option, everything just starts over. Everything resets. You extend the option, and now you go through all of the regulatory hurdles that Walmart would have to go through, including discussion of the size and appearance of the store, which is where Jim is saying, well, this is too big and all of that. None of that gets to happen. None of that happens if they don't extend. They are basically suffocating it in the crib if they vote today not to extend the option. I don't know what's going to happen. I suspect that's what they're going to do. Now, I have seen editorials that from the local paper that people should exercise caution and hear the plan and all of that. I swear, though, nobody but me has pointed out the way Jim has behaved through this stuff. Now, I know they reported on it. I mean, I get that. Have they commented on it? Have they? If they did, and I, by the way, I don't see all their editorials anymore. Our newspaper comes late at home some days now, and I forget to check online here. I don't always see their editorials. Did they call Jim out for that? Did anybody besides me? Well, now DeWayne has called Jim out for that. He denied being part of an anti-Walmart Facebook group when he clearly is. On this radio station, he denied it. How many times have I begged, as I am right now, to the other media in town, he's lying. Or he is woefully mistaken. I suspect he's lying. Our morning show asked him point blank, well, do you have any regrets being part of that Facebook group, that anti-Walmart? Well, I'm not any. I don't, but then he cut himself off. It was completely bizarre. So what happens is when payments come due and they miss two consecutive payments, this property is going to go back to the city if this project falls through. And if it sits there empty, because Jim Schmidt didn't want a Walmart, two sets of people are going to have to remember that. The people who could benefit from hundreds of jobs and the people who would shop there. I don't know. This has gotten absolutely bizarre to me how adamant Jim is. Again, our newsroom reached out to have him on the show because I now have a specific question. Did you promise that a Walmart would not go there? Because you are certainly looking the role of a man who is trying to make good on a promise. That's the way it looks from here. I would be pleasantly, let's put it this way, I'll be pleasantly surprised if they extend the purchase option for Walmart. I don't think they're going to do that today. That's why Jim inserted himself on the governing board to get the deadlock so he could get it to RDA. He wanted to get it on home turf where he believes that his will, if you will be done. Obviously, we'll have a lot more to say about this tomorrow, whatever happens. But if the Redevelopment Authority spikes this because Jim Schmidt wants it spiked, it would just be shameful. The community, the area of the community we're talking about here, could use this. Well, an old familiar name resurfaced in the news yesterday. Greg Moss, PhD, selected as CEO president of Brown County United Way. Some of you may not know Greg's history with this show. Greg Moss was superintendent of schools of Fond du Lac in 2008 when he was hired to come to Green Bay. Unbeknownst to us at that time, Greg was a listener to the show down in Fond du Lac. I made a prediction. I didn't know Greg's age at the time, but I knew his academic experience, and I suspected that he was in for the 3 years, that he wanted to increase his salary for the last 3 years of his education career, thereby using those last 3 years for his retirement multiplier. Everybody knows how that works. Greg was listening and heard me say that. He called. And remember, we weren't sure it was him. Paging the Walker administration. We didn't just put him on the air. Anywho, it was Greg Moss, and he adamantly denied. Jerry, I'm telling you, 3 years from now, you won't see me resign. That's just never retire. Well, guess what? That is precisely what happened. Retire in Wisconsin and head to Marblehead, Massachusetts to be superintendent there. However, and I believe this is in the release. Although Moss worked in Massachusetts for the past 2 years, he and his wife Jean did not sell their Green Bay home, always expecting to return. It's stunning to me that they put that in there, because the folks in Marblehead are convinced he did not leave there under good circumstances. And very few, I don't know, has anyone in this town reported this besides me? Maybe they have. I haven't heard any of what happened in Marblehead. This is from the Boston Globe, April 26th, 2013. A month after announcing his surprising resignation, Superintendent Greg Moss said he stands by his decision to bring his tenure in Marblehead to a close. Moss read a prepared statement Thursday night at a substantially more somber school committee meeting than the last, which attracted more than 100 residents and lasted more than 2 hours a few weeks ago. A month ago, I made the most difficult decision of my career. It was an excruciating, gut-wrenching one, a resignation, Moss said. In my letter of resignation, I made it clear that I could not lead, given the lack of delineation of roles and responsibilities. Respectfully, I'd like the community to know a month later that I stand by my decision and my resignation. I've always believed and I've always coached individuals that you can't go back. You must move forward. The superintendent, who has served for 2 years after relocating from Green Bay, Wisconsin, announced his departure at a school committee meeting on March 21st, stating that tension among committee members and personal reasons fueled his resignation. He had 1 year left in his contract. People noticed that they never sold their house here. People did notice that in Marblehead. With Moss leaving his post, the town will seek to hire its sixth superintendent since 2005. And later this year, they did. So it does sound like, yeah, this is a tough board to work with. There's no question about that. Here's what, and I received correspondence from someone where this happened. There are those who suspect that Greg knew that, that Greg knew the dynamic he was getting into. And that's why he seemed to have 1 foot in Massachusetts. I'm just, a guy sent me an email after this happened because he found my blog where I gloated that Moss had left here. So he sent me an email. Well, Mr. Bader, you might want to know that he's done it again. And da 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 da. And there were suspicions that's why they didn't set down roots in Massachusetts, that he understood this might be short-lived, and he might not even serve out his contract, which he did not. School committee member Kathleen Leonardson said she had no idea what to expect when Moss read a statement, but was hoping he would retract his resignation. I wasn't sure. The support of the community was pretty unprecedented, so I really didn't know. I was hoping he would retract because there are a lot of transitions that are going to have to happen, and I think his leadership was really important in getting us where we are. There was obviously, and I remember a board member broke down and cried or something, or committee members, they call it out there. There was definitely things going on under the surface. And then it just goes on to say, and now they have already, I believe, I saw online, hired another superintendent out there. So Greg's had an interesting path back to Green Bay. I would say one other thing, and this doesn't really have anything to do with his role in his new job in Green Bay, is he became a great disappointment to me as superintendent. When he got here, he was someone who listened to conservative talk radio, appeared to be a little bit right of center. That just evaporated. It just was gone. It'll be interesting to see what the folks in Marblehead think. Again, clearly, if in the last 8 years they've gone through that many superintendents, they have a serious problem. But on the other hand, I never understood why Marblehead thought he would be the guy to bring stability to that, given he was clearly near the end of his academic career. All right, I debate someone I agree with at 9:06. And after 10:06, much more on the secret, now closed to the public, climate change forum going on, being sponsored by two state lawmakers. It's 8:57.
This alert just came in. This special